And I want to take a moment here and just talk to you about the word of the Lord. We're wrapping up our consecration focus in terms of collective consecration, but understand consecration is not a once a year deal, but it's an everyday thing for the child of God. But we like to start the year with a focus, but that's for the purpose of getting it going. Amen. Not just to reserve a few days to do it. Amen. But we're going to look to the word of the Lord tonight. I want to turn your attention to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 12 through 17 to start us off here. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. And I want to read these scriptures in your hearing. And I'm talking tonight on the subject, delivered from the power of darkness. Delivered from the power of darkness. And this is what the word of the Lord says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. And we're talking tonight on the subject, delivered from the power of darkness. That is such a foreboding idea when you talk about the power of darkness, or if you talk about the prince of darkness, if you talk about the concept of spiritual darkness. In fact, Paul let us know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this present world. Principalities and powers. So darkness plays a role in the spiritual world, and we meet darkness as soon as the Bible opens up. In fact, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form. That means that it did not have order to it. It did not have structure. It was without form. It was without order. And it was void, which means that there was no capacity in the earth for life to be sustained. So it was without order, and it was void of life. Life could not inhabit it. It actually was very similar to the way the planets are described by scientists in our galaxy. There doesn't seem to be a particular order. It's just kind of all these random gases and atmospheric pressures, and it is unable to sustain life. And darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, it's worth noting that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And there's no way, I'll probably try to spend the rest of my life trying, but there is no way to adequately express or explain with human vocabulary how meaningful and powerful those first three verses of the Bible are. It's everything. Right there in those first three verses of the Bible is everything. And we immediately catch and capture the clash between darkness and light, and the fact that darkness cannot withstand the power of light. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because Paul said that we are delivered from the power of darkness. So darkness has a power, and I will tell you that what darkness power is. I'm not going to necessarily set it in terms of one, two, three, four, five, six, or seven, because really it's one power, but it is manifest in very similar ways, yet maybe slightly nuanced in different ways. And it's really the power of darkness is restricting vision. The power of darkness is blinding. It's blindness. The power of darkness is preventing you from seeing. That's the power of darkness. And if you could ever to be delivered from the power of darkness means that your eyes have been opened. And so this is why the Bible is so focused on making sure that with all thy getting, get understanding. This is why the Bible is so focused on making sure that we understand that wisdom hath hewn her seven pillars, and that there are seven pillars of wisdom. This is why in the seven spirits of God, which is the sevenfold expression of the one Spirit of God, and that is the Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters. And it was that sevenfold expression that moved upon the face of the waters, which is the Spirit of the Lord, counsel, might, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and strength, the fear of the Lord. That the fact that wisdom, understanding, and knowledge are all three expressed in the context of the seven spirits of God. And by spirits, we don't mean different entities. This is the pneuma of God. This is the breath of God. These are the seven breaths of God. And when God breathes these seven breaths, the result of these breaths is his Spirit, which is affected unto us as being wisdom and counsel and understanding and knowledge and strength and the fear of the Lord. But it is all prefaced as the Spirit of the Lord. These are the seven breaths of God. Proverbs chapter 8 describes these seven breaths, or spirits, if you please, or qualities of God as being present at creation. That's why it says, wisdom dwell with prudence. I was there before the foundation of the world. Counsel is mine. Understanding is mine. I am knowledge. And the reason is because that Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters was the wisdom, the counsel, the understanding, the knowledge, the strength, the fear, the Spirit of the Lord. And that was the glory of God moving upon the face of those waters. And it was in that context that God said, let there be light. And it was that movement of the Spirit that was the illuminating power that brought light. And the statement, God said, let there be light. Brother Emmert, this is a beautiful revelation that you brought my attention to. And it really truly does affect everything that we understand about that day of creation. That word, let there be, is the word haya in the Hebrew language. And it's what Moses heard God say when Moses asked the Lord, who do I tell them hath sent me? And the Lord said, tell them haya, or I am. And it simply means to exist. And when God said, let there be light, it was the same as if he were saying, I am light. He was announcing his existence in this earth that was without order, was void of being able to sustain life, and had darkness upon the face of the deep. When God said, I am light, that was everything. You've got to understand, and I pray God will help me to express what I feel he has shown me. He said, I am light. Let there be light. Light exists. It is here. It is now. I am. That's what God was saying when he said, let there be light. Light has no distance and no time that elapses. When light comes, it just is. It is perpetually there and here and everywhere. Light just is. Now that's what happened. The Bible tells us that the Lamb is the light. The Bible tells us that the light of the Lamb's wife is as a jasper stone. The Bible tells us that the Word was made flesh, and that that Word is that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. When God was saying, I am light, God was announcing His plan, His identity, His plan for man, His plan for the Lamb, and His plan for the church, the Lamb's wife. All of it was established right there. And then the days of creation commenced. So from before the foundation of the world, everything that God wanted to do was established in eternity. Now, He was going to create the world and the atmosphere in which mankind could operate in and choose if they wanted to be a part of what He had created. Now, the reason man had to choose, you say, why didn't God just give it to us? Because we were going to be made in His image. And if we were made in His image, then we had a little something He had called free will. God has free will. God does not have to be a good God. He is a good God because He chooses to be good. He chooses to be love. This is His nature. This is who He is. And He chooses to be this. And so what does God do with the freedom of His own will? God has a will. The will of God, you talk about it. I talk about it all the time. He has a will, and it is free. And He chooses with that free will to give grace unto the humble. He chooses with that free will to save to the uttermost. He chooses with that free will to love the unlovable and the unloving. God is a good God by His own free will. And the Bible says He does all things after the counsel of His own will. So if God's going to make us in His image, and then were to make us without a free will, we wouldn't be in His image. So the question of why did God give us free will? Because we're made in His image. So we get to choose, are we going to be holy? Are we going to be righteous? Are we going to be good? Are we going to be loving? Are we going to be kind? Are we going to be gentle? Are we going to be patient? We get to choose. Now, here's how you make sure you're choosing correctly. Are you ready? Here it is. Not my will, but thy will be done. You align your will to His will. Okay, so God creates the earth. Now, I want to point out a few things. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, and I want to read to you where this idea of time comes from, because time is a created thing. There's a beginning to it, and there will be an end to it. And when the Lord returns, time shall be no more. There is coming a day when time shall be no more, and we will enter into the eternities. The eternity is the thing that exists above and beyond all things, and it is a perpetual moment. There's no time lapse in eternity. That's why there's no time lapse in light, because light is an eternal thing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Now, when He divided the light that He spoke from the darkness, He called the light day and He called the darkness night. But it wasn't until three creative days later that He created the sun and the moon and the stars. And the Bible says in verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. This is why our months are called months. M-O-N, months. They are named after the moon. They are according to the lunar calendar, to the lunar dynamics. And so this is why they're called this is why they're called months. And years are in relationship to the sun. And days are in relationship also. Everything, days, months, years, they're all connected to the solar and lunar dynamics and its relationship with the earth. Weeks are different. Weeks are not connected to solar and lunar dynamics. No scientist understands why a week is a week. It doesn't have any scientific explanation. It just simply is. It's just a mathematical equation that somehow fits neatly within the context of days, months, and years. And the real reason is because in the prerogative of God, He established the first day of creation, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh day of creation. And that is where we get our weeks. We don't get it from the solar or the lunar. We get it from God. And so it's for the purpose of time. Time is different than eternity. And time is a capsule that God created, where mankind, male and female, created in His image, where He could give them the choice of whether they would live with Him and for Him and serve Him and enter into the inheritance. As Paul put in Colossians 1 that we just read, the inheritance of the saints in light. It was all to give man an inheritance, but man had to choose to receive it, okay? There's a reason why inheritances are distributed to heirs through the legal instruments of will and trust. There's a reason, because it takes will and it takes trust. And it's the truth of God's inheritance that He gives to us. He gives to us His inheritance through our surrendered will and trust in Him. It doesn't arrive to us in any other way. And that's the only way we can receive what the Lord has for us. So here we are in time. And everything that God has for us, it's already done. It's already established from before the foundation of the world. God's not trying to win nothing. God's not worried about how this is going to turn out. God's not, North Korea doesn't scare God. COVID-29 or whatever it's going to be doesn't scare God. Nuclear nothing doesn't scare God, because it's already established, everything that He's going to do. Now your salvation is not predetermined. And people who try to tell you that are lying to you. And it is a false doctrine. It's a doctrine of devils to tell you that your salvation is predetermined. No, God created time so that you could step into that time and say, okay, Lord, I do want what you have for me. He's not going to force it on you. The choice is yours. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And so it is a cruel doctrine to suggest that somehow God has already pre-selected. And you can weep and cry and seek all you want. Some would try to say, well, no, if you're weeping, crying, and selected, or seeking, that means that you were pre-selected. No, I'm telling you, the most hardened-hearted sinner can find God. We have an example of that in the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was Saul. And as he was riding down the road to Damascus, he had persecuted the Christians so violently that he had scattered them out of Jerusalem. And they were distributed in that region of the world, running for their lives, trying to find safety somewhere. You know what Saul did? He chased them to Damascus. When we say he was on the road to Damascus, we mean he was not content with them merely being scattered out of Jerusalem. He wanted to kill them. And so he was on the road to Damascus, tracking them down, stalking them. And as he was going, notice what he saw. A great light. and it was shining above the brightness of the sun, above the brightness of the midday sun, Paul said. When he gave his testimony to Agrippa, he said it was above the brightness of the sun. That wasn't the sun shining on him. Eternity shone on him. Eternity opened time up and peeked inside and said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. It is hard for you to fight what I have ordained. You go track them down in Damascus and you'll scatter them somewhere else. And everywhere you track them and scatter them, they're going to take my gospel with them wherever they go. Because this thing, Paul, is done. And all you got to do is surrender to it. So God pulled time back and let eternity come through. It was so bright that it blinded Paul. And then he received a word from the Lord, Saul at the time. And then Ananias was told, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name to the Gentiles, to kings, to nations of the earth, and to Israel. And so Paul experienced, this man was hard-hearted. God had chosen him, but God has chosen whosoever, here it is, ready for the big word? Whosoever will. It comes down to will. Will you be saved? It's up to you, because the Lord has already done the work. But there are points in time where the light has already come forth, but it takes time for time to catch up with what the light has already announced. I use the example of the photon that comes, it's emitted from the sun, and it takes 8 minutes for the photon to reach the earth. The light takes, it takes 8 minutes for the photon of light that is emitted from the sun to reach the earth, from the earth's perspective. But from the photon's perspective, no time has lapsed. The question becomes, how are you viewing things? Are you viewing it from the perspective of earth, or are you viewing it from the perspective of time or light? If you're viewing it from the perspective of earth or time, you got to wait 8 minutes. But if you're viewing it from the perspective of light, it's done. It's already where it needs to go. This is what the person who is speaking faith is saying when they say, it is done. They're not, that's not wishful thinking. That's not just vain optimism. It's them living in the light. They're walking in the light as he is in the light. It's them saying, I refuse to be bound by the doubt that can exist in the context of time. These 8 minutes are not going to be filled with me fretting, wondering if that light is ever going to reach the earth. I'm going to live in, walk in, abide in the light and understand whether the earth knows it or not, it's done. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why you lift up your heads and you walk on like it's finished, because it is. Listen, when Jesus said at the cross of Calvary, he said, it is finished. That's an important word that he used there, finished. It's where we get the word finite or finito. He said, it is finito, it is finite, it is finished. He wasn't saying it took, I'm glad we finally got to this point. No, he was saying, I have done on earth what was done before the earth was. We have finished in time what was spoken from before the foundation of the world. That's what he was praying about in the Garden of Gethsemane when he felt the pressures of time. And the pressures of time said, maybe you shouldn't drink this cup. The pressures of time said, maybe you should go back. You're only 33 and a half years old. But he had to shake that. And that existed in time, the Son of God, said to that which is in eternity, the everlasting Father, same God, one person, not multiple people. The Father is God in eternity, and the Son is the same God in time. When he said, not my will, he was saying, not the will of time, but thy will, the will of eternity be done. Don't lose in time what God has already accomplished in eternity. This is why we preach patience. Patience is the ever-present beckoning of eternity to your soul. Keep the faith. Hold fast the profession of your faith. It's already done. Don't forget. It's already done. Don't forget. It's already done. It's okay. Everything's okay. I know you're going through it. Going through what? Going through time. It's taking a lot of time. You're working with a lot of time. Time seems to be against you, but eternity is already established. Glory. That's what light is. Light, light. Glory to God. Light is access to eternity. And by light, I mean the light of God. The light of God. Glory to God. So I want to turn your attention to a few verses of scripture. Exodus chapter 10, verses 20 through 22. I want to read to you something here about darkness and about light. The Bible says this in Exodus 10, 20 through 22. This is the plague of God upon Egypt. Verse 20. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Verse 21, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Okay, remember, the power of darkness is to restrict vision, is to create blindness. And what does that do? It generates confusion. It generates fear. It generates misunderstandings. It generates anxieties and panics. It allows for the development of false imaginations. I mean, my goodness, have you ever laid in bed at night in the dark? And when your eyes, as we might say, adjusted to the dark, you see a lamp and it looks like a person with a head and shoulders and everything. And the proverbial monsters under the bed. What does that come from? Why are kids afraid of the dark? Because they don't see clearly. And they'll feel better if they could just have a little light, because the light will remove the imagination. The light will reassure them. No, it's not what you think it is. It's everything is okay. That's just the lampstand over there. That's just the coat tree over there. And it'll cause stumbling. I just need to know if there's any Holy Ghost sanctified people that have ever stubbed their toe and kept their Holy Ghost at the same time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to keep your Holy Ghost even when you stub your toe. But the darkness will make you stub your toe. The darkness can make you stumble. Jesus described a spiritual condition where the blind were leading the blind and they were both falling into a ditch. That's the power of darkness. Unable to see, restricted vision, loss of insight, ignorance. And God's cure for that is the light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Lamb is that light. The message of the Lamb is that light. The death, the burial, and the resurrection is that light. That innocent life that he lived. Hallelujah. In him was life, and the life is the light. And the light shined in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. The power of darkness is its ability to restrict your vision, its ability to make you stumble, its ability to confuse you, its ability to make you afraid of things that you should not be afraid of. This is the power of darkness, And through Jesus Christ, God delivers us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at what we read to open this study tonight. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It is our inheritance, and it is found in that light of truth. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is how translation is possible. We are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. As long as we have this natural body, it's going to war against us. It's a fallen body. You say, well, how can people who are Holy Ghost filled still struggle with the lust of the flesh and the sins of this world? Well, because you're living in a body that is a part of this earth. It is, the Bible says, it is of the earth, earthy. It is an earthen vessel. And that's a fallen earth we're talking about. And so as long as you have this natural body, you are going to have to contend with the flesh. That's why we're doing consecration, 24 for 24. That's why we're doing it. We're trying to wage war against the flesh. Because as long as I've got this to deal with, if this ever dips in blood sugar, I might just, you know, snap at somebody. Well, Lord have mercy. I thought he had the Holy Ghost. Well, I do, but I needed a biscuit. What is that? Well, that's this body. I needed something. Glory to God. Yeah, I thought they had the Holy Ghost, and man, they made that snide comment. I thought they loved me. They do. They just need a little coffee to get going. But let me tell you something. You need prayer more than you need coffee. It's prayer that's going to keep this body under subjection. It's fasting that's going to keep this body under subjection. Hallelujah. If you need coffee to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, you got to be careful what spirit and what fruit you're actually demonstrating. We've got to have the Holy Ghost and fire living on the inside of us. Praise God. We're dealing with this fallen flesh. And the Bible says, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm not going to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 15, it's this mortal that puts on immortality. It's this corruptible that puts on incorruption. The invisible parts of us are already supposed to be ready when the trumpet sounds. It's this corruptible. This should be the only thing I struggle with. All the invisible stuff needs to be ready. And even this, I need to have victory over. Don't live in a state of constant defeat. Get the victory in Jesus' name. You have the victory in Jesus Christ. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God. Here it is, the firstborn of every creature. He was the template for the whole world. Everything that was created to bring glory unto his name. He was the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. This does not mean that there was a second person in the Godhead having to help God create the earth. That's not what that means. You have a false understanding of God. If you think that God, the Father, was trying to create the earth and said to a second person that some would say is the Son, co-eternal and co-existent to the Father, and that he said, man, I'm going to have some help. Son, could you come lift this with me? That's not what was going on. No, these things were created by him in the sense that the Son is the plan, the word, the wisdom, the idea, the logos of God. And he was in the beginning, not as a person, a second person. He was in the beginning as the logos of God. in the beginning was the Word. It was the Word, the thought, the idea, the expression, the plan, the Logos of God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The idea, the plan, the expression, the whole thing was never about a second person. It was always God who was going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. So he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. He is before all things. Nothing was created until in the mind of God, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. God declared the end from the beginning in the same sense that you would plan where you're going and work your way back. He declared the end from the beginning, and then he started creating the earth. And when he spoke light, he was speaking. It left his mouth, and the moment it left his mouth, it was the beginning and the ending. It was the first and the last. It was the Alpha and the Omega. It was the all in all. There was no time and there was no distance that lapsed. It is done. And the only thing that needed time were those he would create in his image to decide if they wanted to be a part. He declared his kingdom when he said, "Let there be light." And then he created time for us to live in and make our decision. Now, darkness tries to prevent us from making the right decision. So we look at Isaiah chapter 60. And I want to read to you from Isaiah 60. I want to read to you verse number 1. This is what the word of the Lord says. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Moses said, "Show me thy glory." The Lord said, "I can't, because it'll consume you. You're asking to step into eternity, Moses, and I can't let you do that, because you are finite. You are a creature of time. Your body is, and it would destroy your body." And so he said, "But I want to see your glory." So the Lord put him in a place by him, hit him in the cleft of the rock, put his hand over him, and caused himself to pass by. When he did, he gave Moses a glimpse of the afterglow, the hinder parts of God's glory. I have my ideas of what that is. I'm not going to belabor what I believe that is. I'm just going to say, whatever it was, it lit Moses' face. His face illuminated, and he was walking around with eternity on his face. And people looked, they couldn't look at his face because his face was so bright. They were having the same reaction to his face as Paul had to that light that was shining above the brightness of the sun. They could not look upon his face for the glory that was upon his face. I'm going to tell you that when we interact with the glory of God, we're interacting with that beautiful divine plan of God. This is why when we come, for instance, into noon prayer during consecration month, and we step into this place and there's this beautiful glow of God. We don't even know how to describe it, but we're praying and we're seeking God. And I enter into a little, I don't even know what I'd call it, just his presence. We'll call it his presence. And I'm talking to him, and I feel
feel him communing with me, and there's a peace that comes on me, and it's a peace that passes understanding, because time is telling me of all the stuff I got to get to and all the stuff that could go wrong and all the things that are problematic. But I'm not dealing with time right now. I'm being reassured by the eternal spirit that everything is all right. I'm being reassured by the mighty God of heaven that everything is all right. What do you do when you know that God, who is in eternity, has everything already taken care of and everything is going to be fine if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. If we will do those things, how do I deal then with time when I'm trying to be close to God and trust that everything's in order? Here it is. You ready? Wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Time, hear me now, how I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Time is no match for a believer who is willing to wait. Amen. Waiting on God will put time on its back. It's you stepping into the eternal truths and saying to time, I'm not afraid of you. I will wait on the Lord. I will wait on the Lord. I will wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. And now we're talking about eternity here. We're stepping into eternity. They shall run, but not be weary.
Thank you, Lord.
My God. I'm not talking about the powers of time, because in time when you run, you're weary. But I'm talking about a power that comes on you when you wait on him. You'll run and not be weary. In time, you'll walk and you'll faint pretty quick. But when you step into the powers of the eternal God of heaven, you will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. He's delivering you from the power of darkness through the bright and shining glory of his light that he spoke from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. No, I'm not afraid of the darkness. Well, what's going to happen in the Middle East? I don't know all the details. I wish I could stretch a bunch of charts up here and tell you everything that's getting ready to happen. All I know is none of it's going to surprise God. And we're in the palm of his hand. And everything is going to be all right. I've got a feeling everything is going to be all right. Woo, hallelujah. Well, what's going to happen with Russia and China and North Korea? I don't know all the details of what's going to happen. I just know that he spoke the end from the beginning. And all I've got to do is wait on him and trust in him and surrender my will to him. I have decided to follow Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. He's the light. He's the light. He's the light of the world. That's what we're preaching when we preach the gospel. That's what we're saying to people who are lost in sin, that are in darkness, that are blinded, spiritually blind. That's why we're patient with them, and that's why we love them. We are not thrown off by their inability to see the light. We just know it's the power of darkness. But the power of God's light is going to shine into that darkness. Hallelujah. We've come to tell them, listen, this is what God has planned for you. You are to be a child of God, not a child of darkness. You are to be made in the image of God, not made into the image of some kind of a false teaching. We have the message of the light. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, I'm going to quote it again, was the Word. The Word was with God. That Word that was in the beginning was, let there be light. And that Word was with God, and it was God. the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Colossians 1 said, by him all things consist. All things were created for him and by him. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. If it was made, it was made with him and by him and for him. By him, all things consist. That's why when you try to live life without him, it is inconsistent. He is the consistency of all things. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we saw that life lived for 33 and a half years. That 33 and a half years, he came to fulfill time, in time, what was already established in eternity. This is why he made references to time. For instance, he said to his mother, mine hour is not yet come. We're in time here, and we're dealing in time with what has already been established in eternity. Mine hour is not yet come. This is why when the chief priest came to him to arrest him, he looked at them and said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. He was saying, enjoy it while you can, because this is your hour, and this is the only hour you're going to have. This is your moment. You better live it up. You better do what you're going to do. That's what he told Judas. He said, that thou doest, do quickly. It was a time reference. All of it was connected to time because it was already established in eternity. In him was that life, and that life was the light. You were looking at eternity in flesh. You were looking at eternity stepped into time. You were looking at the mighty God of heaven come down to earth. Emmanuel, God. Stop right there. God. He who was and is to come. God with us. Us. You and I. Us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Light does to darkness what darkness does to humanity. Light confuses darkness. Light causes darkness to stumble. Light causes darkness to lose its direction. Light makes darkness afraid. Ah, hallelujah. I want to be in the light. Do you know that while there was darkness in Egypt, there was light in Goshen? And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and were headed into the land of promise, and they came to the Red Sea, the Bible says that there was a pillar of cloud that was in front of them. But when they got to the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud moved from being in front of them to being behind them. And it separated them from Pharaoh and the armies of the Egyptians. And on the side of the Israelites, the cloud brought light. But on the side of the Egyptians, it brought darkness. The question is, what side of the cloud are you on? Depending on what side of the cloud you're on, you can look at the very same cloud, and one side will call it light while the other side calls it darkness. One side will call it wisdom while one side calls it foolishness. One side will call it good while one side calls it evil. It depends on what side of the cloud you're on. But when you're on the side of the cloud where the light shines, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get on that side. And I don't care how many people are on the other side. And I don't care how much they mock me, telling me that I'm wasting my time over here. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm living in the light. I'm living in the light now, living in the light now. I said, I'm living in the light now, living in the light now. I'm in the light as he is in the light. That light has shined in my darkness. And what once was fun isn't fun to me anymore. And what once used to bring pleasure doesn't bring pleasure to me anymore. And what once used to be exhilarating to my flesh, I don't want it anymore. Amen. What happened? The light confused the darkness. The darkness couldn't comprehend the light. The darkness began to run and hide. The darkness needed a nightlight on. And the darkness was afraid. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was, and this is important, he was not that light. And every man sent from God has to get that. He was not that light. Every woman sent from God needs to get an understanding. We are not that light. But we are sent. We're sent, all right, but for a particular purpose, to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is why we are pro-life. It's more than a political issue. Are you kidding me? Man made in the image of God is what this is about. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, and that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's a reference to mankind, male and female, that cometh into this world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's the world you live in. Don't look to the world to tell you about God. You know what makes my heart grieve every time I'm standing at Walgreens and I look at the magazine section and there's some National Geographic or History Channel magazine that says, who was Jesus? I say, oh God, they don't know who he was. They don't know. You know why? Because they didn't say, who is Jesus? That's how I know they don't know him. Because he's not a was, he's an is and is to come. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't look to the world for the answers of who God is. Don't look to a college professor to tell you about God. No. He was in the world. The world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's us. That's the Jews, and that's us. We're his own. God forbid we don't receive he who has called us out of darkness and into this marvelous light. But as many as received him, whew, hallelujah, to them gave he power, glory to God, to become the sons of God. That's what Paul meant when he said, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Glory to God. There's a light shining, ladies and gentlemen, above the brightness of the sun. And as the church of the living God, we've got to interact with it. We've got to engage with that light. We've got to let it get in us and shine through us. It has to shine through our deeds. It has to shine through our words, our actions. We are people of the light of God. Hallelujah. Don't let time steal from you what eternity has already established. Glory to God. When I slip out of this finite body, I'm going to enter into the presence of the Lord and await that resurrection morning when God will give me a glorified body. And listen, we're not going to be a bunch of little miniature angels flying around with harps and togas and And that's not what heaven is. No, we're going to have a glorified body. It's a real physical body that is without capacity of sickness or death. I'm talking about resurrection. In the resurrection, we rise from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the most glorious and most wonderful message. It's a body that will never die. It's a body that will never grow sick. It's a body that will never age. It's a timeless body made for eternity with the Lord. I'm going there, folks. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I have a mansion over there and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. There's a country far beyond the starry sky. Hallelujah. There's a city where there cometh no night. Hallelujah. I have a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share. Bishop G.T. Haywood said it like this. He said, we will walk through the streets of that city where our loved ones have gone on before. We will go through the gates of that city, enter to go out no more. From the north, east, and west they shall enter. From the south too a host shall arise. Then the children of Abraham gather to hold a reunion in the skies. We will walk through the streets of that city. Halabashatahaya. Oh, hallelujah. When you're looking at the New Jerusalem, you're looking at the city God has prepared for his resurrected people. For his resurrected people. Glory to God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? If not, you better do it. You better do it fast. Yes, I speak in the context of time. The hour is growing late. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, that promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And you hear what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen. You hear what I'm telling you? That Holy Ghost in you is the spirit that will raise your body from the dead. That's the resurrection power. People say, well, why do I need the Holy Ghost? Because that's the power that raises the body from the dead. If that spirit dwell in you that raised Christ from the dead, he shall quicken your mortal body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, y'all. I know we're not in eternity yet, so we got to go tonight. But I feel like praising his name. Does somebody want to see him? Lift up your hands and give him praise right now. Does somebody want to see him? Come on, lift up your hands and give him praise right now. Come on, lift up your hands and give him praise right now. In the name of Jesus. You hear me? Don't play with time. Don't play with time. There's a time to live and there's a time to die. And if you're not ready to meet God, you'll go into eternity without being saved. There's a time that the trumpet's going to sound. There is a time that the trumpet is going to sound. There is a time. There is a time. Don't you think you got it all figured out? You've got to be ready to meet the Lord. You've got to be ready to meet the Lord. You've got to be ready to meet the Lord. If you've got unrepented sin in your life, it's time to repent. If you've got stuff that you're harboring, any feelings of aught or bitterness or resentment, it's time to get that under the blood of Jesus Christ. If you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Would you spend eternity in a place of torment where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? Or would you spend eternity ruling and reigning with Christ? I want to live
in eternity with the Lord. Come on, let's lift up our hands unto him right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I praise you, Lord. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. This is why we want you to pray. We want you to do in time. We want you in time to connect with what God has established in eternity. In the name of Jesus, come on, do it in time. Don't let time run out on you. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Don't let time run out. Don't let time run out. Come on, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I'm opening up these altars right now for somebody to say, Lord, help me to wait on you where I need to wait, and help me to act where I need to act. Give me, oh God, hallelujah, an understanding of time and eternity. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh God. Oh God. Come on, child of God. Come on, that's it. Let's lift up our voices in this house. Let's consecrate ourselves. Let's consecrate ourselves. How many have appreciated this 24 days where we've been able to draw closer to God? Let's let that be every day. Let's don't just let it be for 24 days. Let's let that be every day where we draw closer to God. Lord, let me step into eternity. Let me step into eternity now and again. Roll back the curtain of time every now and then. Let me see into the holiest of all places. The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is calling. The precious blood. Yes, Lord. Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Are you burning broken men, overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, says this, the scripture says this, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, the Father of lights.
There is no variableness in him, no shadow of turning in him. The good and the perfect gift come down from the Father of lights. That word lights there has to do with enlightenment. It's understanding. The good and the perfect gifts from God have to do with understanding. The more that you understand about God and His Word, it will awaken in you. It will revive you. It will generate and regenerate. It will create a fire inside of you. It'll be like a fire shut up in your bones. That's what His Word is. It's understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Those are the good and the perfect gifts. Those are the gifts that you seek after. Understanding, Lord, let me know you more, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering, in the power of his resurrection. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to understand and more, and give me wisdom. He said, if any man lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it liberally to you. Ask in faith, believing, nothing wavering. I want you just to lift up your hands right now and say, God, I need understanding. I need wisdom. I need knowledge. God, I need some understanding. I'm going to tell you, when you start understanding faith, you can practice faith. When you start understanding what real grace is, you will never stop serving the Lord. You will never stop serving the Lord. This false doctrine that grace lets you live any way you want to live because it's all covered by grace, that's a false doctrine. Grace, when you really understand it, you'll only live for God. And you'll never turn your back on Him. Ah, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Come on, all across this house. God, give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. I need to draw closer to you. Let me know you, Lord. Speak to me through your word. Let your spirit speak to me in prayer and in the word of God. Let the spirit of the Lord make the word come to life to me, Lord. Yes, in Jesus' name. Yes, in Jesus' name. Oh, what a Savior. Bow down before him.
Before we go tonight, I want us to lift up our faces unto heaven, lift up our hands to heaven, and I want you to envision that loved one that you want to see saved.
I want you to see them in the presence of the Lord. I declare light to shine in the darkness. I declare light to shine in the darkness. Lord, every work of darkness that the enemy has tried to bring upon whomever may be brought before the Lord in prayer by this great congregation right now, every work of darkness be turned back in Jesus' name. The light of God shine into those dark circumstances. Give revelation. Take away the fear. Take away the imaginations. Take away the stumbling blocks. Remove all of the things, Lord. All of the things that have restricted vision and insight, Lord. And let the light of your glorious grace shine into that darkness. Come on, pray that prayer before we go tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, precious Savior, do it, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.